With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Taco Palenque fans, we have something special for you. Try the Casero Taco now for only $2.75 Monday through Thursday. Flavor packed with premium sirloin rice and refried beans. Only at Taco Palenque. At participating locations for limited time, not valid for delivery. Other restrictions may apply.
From a highly secure network of top secret locations across North America, this is the Spurs Insider. Brought to you, as always, by Taco Palenque. I'm your host, Mike Finger, joined by Express News, Spurs beat writers Tom Orsborne and Jeff McDonald, and sports editor Nick Talbot. We had an amazing race to start this week's podcast. Jeff McDonald in Boston, he was determined through the ice, the snow, the sleet, the hail, all kinds of weather, to make it to that secure location for this taping. You made it in just the nick of time, Jeff. Is everything okay up there?
It's about the only race I'm ever going to win.
But you made it. You made it.
I did make it.
And despite Tom's urgings, you did not invite your driver onto the podcast or tell him that you're a sports writer or engage him on Victor Wembanyama, well, I'm assuming.
The driver just seemed very angry. In general life. Traffic, people cutting him off. He might have been a good guest, but I don't know. I mean,
okay,
we don't need two angry people, Mike Finker.
Well, you made it from Atlanta, the MLK Day TNT game, where our local Cagers. It should be mentioned, this is one of the rare editions of the Spurs Insider where, since our last episode, the Spurs have won as many games as they've lost. I believe they went 2-2. In a little week-long interim between the last episode and this one. That second loss, Jeff covered in Atlanta, MLK Day. The local Cagers were down 35 points. Greg Popovich changes the starting lineup to start the second half, and it ends up being a quite entertaining finish. The Spurs still come up short, but that was at least something interesting, right, Jeff?
What a wily, veteran, crafty, genius coaching move that was. To start Blake Wesley and put Victor Wembanyama on the bench. Like, it's just genius.
Cowboys should have done it.
Started Blake Wesley in the second half. I guess it couldn't have hurt.
Yeah, it couldn't have hurt.
Couldn't have hurt.
This is not the Cowboys insider, although I guess it could be. The Spurs seem better off than the Cowboys. The Cowboys who made the playoffs and just completely disappointed everyone again. At least the Spurs did not do that.
The Atlanta game. You want to talk about the Atlanta game?
We can talk about the whole week.
That's what you're leading into. Well, the Atlanta game is fresh. I mean, I feel like I was just there because I was. Man, it started off like this. I mean, the Spurs had played so well the previous five games. Maybe not. Well, so well is that's an overstatement. But you know, for them, comparatively speaking. To some of the dreadfulness we had seen earlier in the year, they'd been playing pretty well. And then the first half in Atlanta, it looked like they just were not there. Like, mentally, emotionally, just checked out. I don't know if it was the early tip or what, but they were just not, you know, they were basically just wandering around and going through the motions to my eyes in the first half, and down 35 points at half, like you mentioned. And, Pop sits Victor, sits Devin Vassell, and sits everybody's golden child, Trey Jones, to start the second half, to start the third quarter. Replaces them with spare parts, basically. And, you know, they fight their way back in the game and they get within six in the fourth quarter. And Victor's, you know, comes back midway through the third quarter. He's amazing. And he finishes scoreless in the first half, 26 points. In the second half, nearly brings him back, but doesn't. And it's sort of the story of their season in a lot of ways. Like, looks really bad for a while until you see these glimpses of like, holy crap, that was really good. But they lost anyway.
Yeah, but the week as a whole, I think not bad. The two losses were to the Hawks, as you mentioned, and to the Chicago Bulls in a game, the second half of a back-to-back in which Victor Wembanyama did not play. And the spare parts, the cube stakes, to quote our old friend Malik Rose, they played pretty well against the Chicago Bulls, came up short, and then took care of business. We can rehash this against two of the worst teams in the NBA, two pretty putrid teams. We thought we were watching bad basketball for a lot of this winter, and we were. But the Pistons and Hornets are not good.
Yeah,
and
they're
The Spurs did what they should have done
against
those two teams.
And, you know, it would be nice if the Spurs would sneak up and win one against, like, a not terrible team, like, say, an Atlanta Hawks. I mean, you could say their only two wins are against just these two awful teams in Detroit and Charlotte, but at least they beat the crap out of them. Like, there was no doubt. So if you're gonna, you know, post wins against those guys, you might as well make it a no doubter. They played well in both of them. Lots of signs of life lately, not counting the first half in Atlanta, and we can talk about our buddy Trey Jones. I say his name funny, Jones. Trey Jones. He moved in the starting lineup, I believe, six games ago, and I don't think it's the only factor, but it's a big factor. Everything's looking a lot more copacetic, to use a Popovich word. Things just look a little more organized, and it's helped to start games. It's helped to start third quarters. Over the first 33 games, the Spurs had won, I believe the number is 3 third quarters. I might have that confused. They might have just not lost 3 third quarters. Like, some of those might have been ties, some of those 3. But anyway, they had lost 30 of 33 third quarters to start the season. Trey Jones enters the starting lineup. They've won 6 consecutive third quarters. I don't know that he gets the credit for Atlanta because he didn't start that third quarter Atlanta, but still. I think that, more than anything, has been one of the glaring benefits of the Trey Jones to the starting lineup move, is that he also starts the second half and helps the Spurs get off to a better start there, which had really been one of their issues over the first couple months of the season. So that's some of the positive things we're seeing, and it's nice when we can be positive on the Spurs Insider podcast.
Well, you mentioned Trey Jones's name and how difficult it can be to pronounce. And as someone who's been, I've been working on my French lately, because just I feel like I need to do that. And I feel like I should add right here that Trey Jones' name in French translates to Very Jones. So that's just a tip out there for the listeners.
And you know,
wondering.
He's been Barry Jones lately.
He has been
very, very, very
Barry
Jones.
So, who can argue with the fact that the Spurs have been Barry Jones? Barry Jones has been very good to the Spurs over the past 5-6 games. And, you know, that combined with Victor playing the five with just some contributions. Every now and then you have a random, like, really good stretch from Blake Wesley. I do also, in light of our discussion last week about what it was about, we don't need to get all into that again. I'm gonna make another concession, another admission about something that I might not have been totally right about, that I could have been wrong about.
When I said that
part of the argument last week was that Jeremy Sochan didn't get anything out of that mistake of an experiment, the point guard experiment, the first 15, 20 games of the season. There was a stretch Monday in that furious second half comeback against the Atlanta Hawks, where it looked like they might actually pull this off, and they were running the floor and they were forcing turnovers. And there were several situations where power forward Jeremy Sochan, was sort of running the break and making things happen. And I will admit that maybe some of that, like, he made some good full court plays. He made some nice little passes. He turned the ball over a couple times, but maybe they're little
bits and pieces that could come out of all the time he spent a point guard, which did not go well. But I did want to make a point of noting in this podcast that there might have been some long-term benefit from giving him all that responsibility that did not go well. I don't know. Did anybody else notice that or
I think he had that before the point guard experiment.
Right.
Them saying, hey, he does this, let's make him a point guard.
Right. That's the other side of it.
But no, your point is valid. He's done that in several games lately, you know, where you see him running the break and doing it rather well.
Yeah. That might have been what led to the experiment in the first place, which did not go well. But I guess more reps aren't necessarily a horrible thing, even though they did not go well in the first quarter, third of the season.
At times, he's looking a little bit more like Jeremy Sohan, though. I mean, we talked about like he had lost some of his confidence from that experiment, and we were kind of waiting to see if he would get that back. And, you know, the rest of the team played pretty bad versus Atlanta, but he came out and he was really the only one hitting any shots, the only one really playing well early, and he continued that late. But he did have a couple key turnovers, but he looked like what he should be out there.
I thought that was an interesting thing last night that I didn't write or get anywhere with something that Victor said.
That's not surprising.
When we were talking about, you know, just what it was like for Victor to, you know, be benched to start the second half and what Pop was trying to coax out of the team at that point. And kind of almost as an aside, Victor said, you know, I was also pleased that, you know, Victor said, yeah, I deserve to be benched. I'm paraphrasing. I deserve to be benched. You know, we weren't playing well, but I was happy that Pop left Jeremy in there because he was basically playing his butt off. And it was good to see that Pop noticed that and rewarded that and didn't bench the whole five, you know, bench the ones that in his mind needed the benching. I thought it was interesting that Victor singled out Jeremy there.
Just reading between the lines, I think one of the biggest Jeremy Sohan fans in San Antonio might be one Victor Wembanyama. Like he's been, I think that relationship could be.
I mean, Victor showed up here a week and a half and was dyeing his hair.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And hey, if that pays off, if that continues, keeping a symbiotic relationship between those two guys, that could be a pretty big deal. Top two picks from the last couple of drafts. Who knows? Also, another thing that Victor mentioned that I think Jeff did write about was that he's willing to go to the G League, right? That can be the headline of this podcast.
I would love Victor that so much. I'm probably going to ask Pop that tomorrow just as a yuck joke. Like, could you please do this? Just send him to the G League one time. Do you remember those numbers that Mamu put up in that one game in the G League where he was basically Shaq? Could you imagine Victor in the G League? What would he put up?
Wilt Chamberlain numbers?
Seriously. 100. Seriously.
And he looked like he could do that against the Hawks in the second half there.
I remember back in the day they sent Boban to the G League for one game and he broke the rim or the basket, the whole stanchion. And they had to tell him not to, you can't go to the G League anymore.
The actor Boban? Is he a basketball?
Yes. Renowned actor Boban.
Renowned actor.
Marjanovic.
For those listeners who did not read the paper, and you should, it's a great value. The Dead Tree newspaper, expressnews.com, the Express News Spurs lose letter. All that stuff is good stuff. You can get your Jeff McDonald, your Tom Osborne, etc. But Victor had said that, what, Jeff, that he wants the type of coaching where a coach will threaten to send you to the G League if you're not playing well, right? That's the context of this.
Yeah, basically, yell at me, bench me, threaten to send me to the G League. I like the quote. I think it was, I like when there are consequences for my mistakes.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah. Oh, hey, backing up, if they go 2-2 in a week, can we still call it the lose letter? What's the ruling on that?
I'll leave this up to the listeners. But I mean, overall for the season, it's definitely a lose letter. But I guess individual editions of the lose letter might go back to newsletter. if they're playing 500 ball.
We'll crowdsource that. Email us your thoughts. As always, we're interested in hearing your thoughts.
19-year-old.
You don't need to do that.
19-year-old Victor is showing more accountability than some of the NFL coaches. So.
Well, he's 20 now. That's why.
That's true. Mike Tomlin storming out. The aforementioned Cowboys, their coach having a short presser after their embarrassment. And here's Victor, you know, make me accountable.
Victor has been great since we've known him. More than a year since I first talked to him. They've just always been blown away by how good he is at press conferences. But it seems like he's had a really good week, even by his standards. The other night, his last game in San Antonio was one of his more eloquent, insightful sessions. And it seems like he's really getting into the flow interview wise. I know fans don't care about that, but it seems like you learn something when you talk to him. And he always says something that kind of makes you do a double take. I like it when there's consequences for my actions. That's pretty good.
See, what I like is when there's not consequences. I'm the opposite of Victor. Yeah. I don't like consequences for my mistakes.
That's what Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott are hoping for, right? No consequences for their mistakes.
No consequences. Yeah.
We will see.
Blake Russell, by the way, was a pretty good high school football player. Receiver, quarterback.
Hurt his hand, did he not?
I think he would have helped, though. I think he would have helped the Cowboys.
I don't think God himself could help the Cowboys.
Victor Wembanyama at tight end. That used to be always the joke with LeBron. Put him at tight end. You just put Victor in the end zone and just throw the ball up.
Hey,
and then anytime he stand there and block field goals.
Victor at quarterback. That pass he had against the Pistons when he had the triple double.
Well, where you put him at quarterback is I was gonna say on the goal line, but anytime inside the five, you put him at quarterback and do the tush push and just let him stretch.
Yeah, that's right.
Easy six right there, buddy.
That's right. There's endless things you could do with him on the gridiron.
Just reach the ball over.
This podcast has gone off the rails.
Well,
we should start yelling at each other again. Can we do that?
I didn't enjoy.
Let's have a Stephen A. Whitlock podcast. You want to do that?
Let's not do that. I was putting this off the discussion that I wanted to bring into the podcast. Didn't want to make the whole podcast about it. I brought this up. I broached this subject with a couple of Spurs type people the other night, including Jeff McDonald. No one seemed to be on the same page as I was. I'm kind of alone here.
That's a shock.
At least I was at that lunch table last week. But I'm going to throw it out here because it's good podcast fodder and it's sort of in the news.
Oh, I see where this is going. Yeah, let's do this.
Okay. On the TNT broadcast yesterday, Dennis Scott mentioned during his sideline report that he had asked DeJounte Murray about rumors that the Spurs might be interested in reacquiring him. And DeJounte Murray told Dennis Scott that he would welcome it. And this, we're approaching the 1 year anniversary of my trip to Atlanta a year ago when I talked to DeJounte about his time in San Antonio, and he was very, very positive, unlike some of his podcast appearances, about his feelings for San Antonio's feelings for Greg Popovich. He said that he wanted to be here forever. It would be sort of an unprecedented type trade in that the Spurs traded him less than 2 years ago for three first-round picks plus a swap. For that team to turn around and trade for him back like that, you don't see that happening very often. I think Jeff mentioned at the lunch table the other day that it's not going to happen because both sides would feel stupid for
not
doing
both
it.
Sides, yeah. but I've come around on this a little bit, but I do think it like.
I think they should do it. I think it would be a huge first. I'm just going to present it for the Spurs to even if they traded everything for that they got from Atlanta for him, it would be a huge win because you end up on the other side with DeJounte Murray under a long-term deal plus Victor Wembanyama. Like, what a coup that is to trade him for a couple years and then get Victor Wembanyama out of the deal. But the kicker here is you don't even have to trade everything you got for him. They got three first-round picks plus a swap. Atlanta, supposedly, according to some reporting out there, is asking for two first-round picks back. Like, you don't have to give them their first-rounders back. You could pick another one. Like, they have one coming from Toronto, from Chicago. I think those might be better. But, I mean, you could, that Charlotte one that is highly protected that might turn into 2 seconds if Charlotte doesn't make the playoffs in a couple of years. You could trade them one of their first-rounders back plus one of the others. Maybe undo the swap. Anything along those lines. I do that in a heartbeat because DeJounte Murray is exactly what is missing from this version of the San Antonio Spurs.
Exactly.
I think, yes. Yes. I'm open to the... And you had mentioned, you and some of the people we were talking to you the other day said, oh, I'd do it for Trey. And Trey, maybe basketball-wise, that seems more fun and more exciting and maybe better. But I think personality-wise... You already know that DeJounte fits in San Antonio. I'm not sure you know if Trae Young does. And I'm not saying don't do it for Trae Young, but I'd do it for if all it takes is two first-round picks to get DeJounte Murray from Atlanta, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it would take more than that for Trae. I did find Trae's comments. They're not completely related here, but after the game, when they interviewed him on the sideline there, they asked him about Wembanyama, and he said, well, you know, it'd be great if his team could actually find him and open up there. He must be getting pretty frustrated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'll open it up. A good point guard would fix a lot of those. And, you know, Trae Young is good for what he does. Yeah. But DeJounte could fix a lot of those issues. And DeJounte fit the system here in San Antonio better than he does playing alongside another.
DeJounte's a great pick and roll player.
He's not a great passer, and that's what you need. Like, he's probably better than what they got, but I don't think of passing as being DeJounte's like top skill.
He had a bunch of triple doubles.
He figured out the pick and roll a little bit with Jakob, and you would think maybe.
And if you figure it out with Jakob, yeah. I'm not going to interrupt. Go ahead.
Yeah, so he could probably figure that out with Wimby. I don't want to sit here and act like DeJounte's no good. I don't want to do that. I just, it'd be worth considering, I suppose. My other thing is, I would be hesitant, not hesitant, but I would think about those Atlanta picks are going to be really good. Like they're going to be really valuable. Atlanta is going in the toilet, man. If not now, then soon. And those, I would be tempted to hang on to those picks because I think you could draft someone better or use them to trade for someone better. I'd just be tempted. That's all. It would be a thought I would have.
Drafting is always, you know, a gambit. I mean, you're going to have a lot of picks. You maybe pick two or three point guards and one of them hit and they're better than DeJounte, but it's hard to say one of them, just random person in the NBA draft, is going to end up being better than a DeJounte.
I mean, you could have three top three picks out of that.
Yeah.
A lot of damage with those picks. That how old's DeJounte now? Does anyone have that? I was not prepared for this discussion. Is he 28?
I believe that's close. Let me double check that, but that's a pretty good guess.
He is 27 at the
27.
Moment. September 19th is his birthday.
So he'll be barely, but I think he fits the timeline. Barely though. Okay.
The other thing. I wanted to hear Tom on this. I know Tom shies away from controversy and is hoping I don't call on him. But
what? Am I back in high school or what?
I think so.
Podcast is a moron.
If it's the two unprotected first rounders from Atlanta are 25 and 27. The swap is in 26. If you say you can undo the swap in 26 and have your 27 back. It's almost like those picks are so far into the future. Like you're hoping you're winning with Victor before 27, before 26. And I'm not saying mortgage the future for the present, but like you hope that Victor is making the playoffs, that the Spurs are quote unquote contending by 26, somewhere along there. So like those picks, they might be good, but they're almost past your target date anyway. And I'm not saying you give them away, but I think the bird in the hand with DeJounte, who I think, here's the other part of it that is intriguing to me. Maybe the last time he was here, he thought the grass was greener elsewhere. He saw San Antonio for all it's not in terms of exposure and, you know, the stuff that he mentioned to Steven Jackson about not being able to do what you can do in other places. Maybe now that he sees how sort of dysfunctional it can be elsewhere, he is realizing what he missed and will come with an even better attitude. I always thought he had a great attitude in San Antonio. I don't think that was ever questioned. Now he comes back and says, maybe he craves all the type of stuff that he thought he didn't like before. I think there's definite upside there.
All right, here's my question, and it's completely, this is a complete hypothetical. This is just a thought experiment. But if you knew for a fact you could get Trae Young this summer, would you rather wait on Trae Young or pull the trigger on DeJounte Murray now? And realizing that Trae Young is going to cost a little bit more.
I mean, that's interesting.
I think DeJounte is a better fit defensively. I agree with Mike. I liked his attitude. You know,
there are listeners screaming to wait for Trae because Trae's upside, I think, is higher.
I think I'm on team wait for Trae. If you know for a fact you could get him.
And I'm not telling you you're wrong for that, but it's like the upside with Trae is higher just because the upside of him as a player is higher. But I think there's also risk there that he does not. You don't know about the personality fit. You don't know about him.
Well, then
playing in San Antonio. It takes a certain type of player to play in San Antonio.
Let's not trade for anyone that's never played here before.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm open to it. I'm just saying it's not a slam dunk for Trae. Like some people out there, I'm sure, are saying slam dunk. I'd rather have Trae. Also, the cost is less for DeJounte, as you mentioned. These are all factors to consider.
Man, but I could picture Trae throwing 10 alley-oops to Victor.
Yeah, Gideon. It would be super fun.
Like, super fun. I don't know how you would stop those two together.
Trae,
it's hard enough to stop him with Clint Capella.
And DeJounte improved greatly over the years in San Antonio as a three-point shooter. He's a threat as a three-point shooter now, but he's no Trae Young. Need three-point shooting.
If you had to guard Trae Young, you're playing the Spurs with Trae Young. Why are we even doing this? But anyway,
it's fun.
I think you go back.
If you have to guard Trae Young at 38 feet, how do you protect the rim? Think of the spacing. I don't know how you would guard those two together.
Go ahead, Tom.
Not a very good defender.
Well, a lot of people
score 100. Yes. If you score 150, maybe you don't need to defend.
By the way, I mean, I don't want to get into all that, but the people in Atlanta would say DeJounte is not a good defender anymore either.
Yeah, but that I think he would be if he came back here.
Yeah, I think I agree.
The trick there is there's a lot more noise with them training DeJounte than them looking at trading Trae or letting Trae go or
of course
any of that. DeJounte seems a lot more realistic target than Trae.
For the thought experiment, we're saying you could have one or the other. With the thing I was saying the other day about the Hawks and the optics of trading DeJounte, I've kind of come around on that. At first, I was thinking, like, you've got to trade him. If you're going to trade DeJounte, and if you are the Hawks and you're trading DeJounte, it's got to be to anybody but the Spurs who fleeced you for him. And you surely can't trade him back for less than, you know, pennies on the dollar. Like, you just look stupid.
But you had him for 2 years, like, and it's a different regime.
And that's the part that I've come around on. It's a different front office regime, and who cares if they make the previous regime look stupid? In fact, they might kind of like that.
Yeah.
So I've come around on that part of it. I thought there's just no way Atlanta would ever do that, and I've come around on that line of thinking that, well, I don't think that part matters as much.
So take the Trae thing out of the equation, which I know Brian Wright can't, R.C. Buford can't, Greg Popovich can't. They can't. They have to consider everything. But just for the sake of this specific question, the choice is, Atlanta says, for the 27 first round pick, and for the, let's say, the Chicago pick, which is protected top 10 and 25, top 8 and 26, top 8 and 27. Okay. So this is Atlanta says, we want our 27 first rounder back, and we want that Chicago pick, which could convey as early as 25, might wait till 27. And to make the salaries work, we want Devontae Graham. Like, I think it's Devontae Graham works, Doug McDermott works, whoever, just for the rest of the season. And if this is offered to you this month before this trade deadline, do you take it? I take it in a heartbeat, but I'll open it up to the floor.
I could see that. You just go over again. You're talking the Hawks 27th. They get their 27th back.
They get their number one pick in 2027,
and that protected.
And they get the Chicago first rounder that is protected top 10 and 25, top 8 and 26, and top 8 and 27. You're eventually going to get a decent Chicago pick within the next 3 years.
And are the Spurs
those are the two picks?
So the Spurs keep the other Atlanta pick, which was when
25,
and the swap.
And the swap in 26.
All right, I could be on board with that.
I take that in a heartbeat. If you don't have to give up with that, the Toronto pick or one of the Spurs owns pick, you trading two picks and say the Bulls doesn't really convey until like 26 and another one in 27.
I might even give up the Toronto pick that could come this year because this draft isn't that great. This 2024 draft.
It might not convey. Where's Toronto right now?
Yeah, it's Toronto. It's protected top six. But if you want the Toronto pick or the Chicago pick, plus the 2027 Atlanta first, I'm doing it.
What is that?
Right. And yeah. I'm getting my dollar back from DeJounte Murray, who still owes me a dollar.
You got to get interest on that
from the vending machine.
From the vending machine,
Dallas,
yeah,
a few years ago.
I remember
ago.
That.
When I lent him a dollar and he still hasn't paid me back. That's why I'm pushing for this. I want my dollar back. Anyway,
what does Victor say? That's my first question. I go to Victor.
That's
Tom okay. Always makes the smart call.
Yeah, Tom, that's a good one to finish on. Like, that's we've
well,
mentioned
the
this
thing,
before.
Though.
He's the most important person to this franchise right now.
The upside,
can you clear everything with him?
But can you put him? Can you put him in that position?
Oh yes, yes.
You don't mean what you say is we're planning on doing this. You don't say, should we do it? You say, we're planning on doing this. Are you okay with it? If he says yes, then.
The upside of getting.
If he's like, I really like that 27 Atlanta pick. We can't do it. And you just don't do it.
He knows what's going on.
Yeah. There's always a fine line of that. Like back in the day when it was Duncan, he knew what was going on, but also there were times the front office tried to keep him from having to feel like he's a decision maker.
I think this guy wants.
Do you want to be responsible for trading some of your teammates out of the locker room?
Right.
Now it's on you that Doug McDermott's no longer. I mean, he probably doesn't care, but you know, something like that, something along those lines. Just pick your player that loves it here, and now he's getting traded because of you.
I think Victor's very invested and would make those kind of calls.
Yeah, I don't think they'd put him in that position so blatantly.
Could be. But the upside of getting DeJounte Murray back is it enhances what is already a great scouting department, because he knows the junior high kids, the middle school kids that are out there and that are hooping.
He watches a lot of basketball, Tom.
He watches
DeJounte
a lot.
DeJounte always said, I watch a lot of basketball, Tom.
I'm going to be like, I watch a lot of pickleball. I don't know anything about it.
All right. Well, I think that was I think that was worthwhile, that discussion. We're all on board there.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's write up the papers, make the trade call.
Okay.
I think we've solved it all.
We'll get that done. We solved something this week. Maybe we'll solve something next week. Until then, take care of each other and keep it real.